And this is Ken McDermott Rowe. The name of the show is In Context, live public affairs call-in show, and I'm here with my co-host, Gus Canavero.
Hey, everybody.
Today, of course, we're doing WPKN's fundraising drive, and the theme of the drive is global sustainability, community sustainability, and the sustainability of local community radio. So we very much would appreciate your support to the station by calling in. The number is 203-384-9756. And today's show is going to be environmentally based. We're going to talk about a very important issue that many of you may not be aware of. It's called chemtrails. Chemtrails, what are they? And our premium today is a DVD which explains the issue, and it's called What in the World Are They Spraying? What in the World Are They Spraying? It's a DVD, and it's being offered for a contribution of $75. What in the World Are They Spraying? The DVD on chemtrails for $75. And we're very fortunate today to have with us as our guest the creator of the movie, its co-producer, Mr. Michael Murphy, one of the leaders who's studying chemtrails and geoengineering. Mr. Murphy, are you on the line?
I am on the line. Good morning. It's actually morning here in Hawaii. How are you doing?
Oh, very good.
Thank you for joining us. What time is it in Hawaii?
It is 6 a.m. I'm watching the sun come up. And, for the first time, I've been here for about a month, we actually have clear skies.
It doesn't appear
that we have any aerosols here. So.
We doubly appreciate you're getting up with the Dawn Patrol to be with us in WPKN.
I really envy you on a lot of levels. We are inundated with chemtrails here today.
Well, we'd like to talk about the movie. We'd like to talk about your most recent activity in Hawaii, which directly connects with the movie. But for many of our listeners who are not familiar with the whole issue, could you explain what are chemtrails, how do they differ from contrails, and how does it connect to the subject of geoengineering?
Absolutely. Well, what most people call chemtrails is typically when you see a very long line from an airplane that does not dissipate. It actually spreads out. And it's aerosols that are sprayed out of airplanes. Very different from a contrail, which is short for condensation trail. Condensation trail occurs when an airplane flies at very high elevations where it's very cold. And a little white tail will form behind it. Usually that tail dissipates in about 4 to 5 seconds. Sometimes it lasts a little bit longer, but it's very similar to when we breathe in cold weather. When we breathe in cold weather, you can see your breath, and then it quickly disappears. So again, a contrail, they do not dissipate. They actually spread out and create what looks like cloud cover. It's what geoengineers describe as something that they urgently want to do. However, they deny that they're doing it. So what is geoengineering? Geoengineering is defined as the artificial modification of the Earth's climate. So there's a group of scientists, corporations, and governments who want to change and are changing the composition of our climate and our skies. Unfortunately, when you do things like this and programs like this, it has profound effects not only on human health but also our ecosystems around the world. So it's an area of deep concern for us, and as we covered in the film, there have been profound changes in just the past 10 years.
And out there in listening audience, if you want to join in with the conversation, we're not going to take listener phone calls today because we'd prefer that you call into the pledge line. But if you would like to weigh in, please email us at ken@mdrtalk.org, and we'll get your emails on the air. Or if you have a question for Mr. Murphy, we will relay that to him.
And the pledge number is 203-384-9756, and we're offering as a premium Mr. Murphy's movie, What in the World Are They Spraying?, a DVD that traces the history and helps explains the whole phenomenon of chemtrails and geoengineering.
Right. Now, Mike, when I've spoken to people personally about geoengineering and the contrail-chemtrail debate over the past several years, I think it was probably maybe 10 years ago that I first came across this issue, and at first I was like, this is crazy. There's just no way that something this massive is taking place. But then the more I looked into it, the more I observed just anecdotal evidence, driving around, seeing the patterns, how it happened 2 days before we were supposed to get rainstorms, seeing how they just lasted forever, how they would one plane would go down to the horizon, turn around and come back and turn on the trails again. I just started to see, wow, there is just no way that this isn't true. So it became something that was an absolute certainty that it was false to now there was just no doubt in my mind that there was something more to this. Now, over the past couple of years, we've seen it become more of a mainstream debate. We've seen John P. Holdren, the current science advisor to the president, who succeeds Paul Ehrlich from the Bush administration. And if anyone out there doesn't believe that there's continuity of agenda in the government, just look, these two guys are intimately connected. They both wrote a book called Ecoscience, I think it was 1968, where they advocated for global geoengineering and using things like shooting rockets up into the atmosphere to control cloud cover. And the more that this stuff comes out, the more we see it used in commercial applications to create snowfall, to create good weather for the Beijing Olympics. Saudi Arabia is using these pylons out in the middle of the desert to cause rainfall, which they've seen, you know, an astronomical increase of rain. So it really does work. What can you tell us about the recent acknowledgments about the commercial applications or government applications of geoengineering?
Well, weather control has been happening for over 100 years. It's nothing new. However, geoengineering now is taking place on a global level. And just like you, the first person that told me about this, I thought they were completely crazy.
Right.
It wasn't until I began observing. But again, that's not enough for everybody to mm-hmm. be convinced. So mm-hmm. we went in What in the World Are They Spraying to a geoengineering conference. And this is when I got really interested in this, because for 3 days I listened to geoengineers talk about their plans and proposals to
right.
spray 10 to 20 million tons. They stated...
Sorry, Mike, your phone... Oh, did we lose Mike? All right, looks like Mike is on his cell phone, and we just dropped the connection. Just drop that call, and just call him right back, Marge.
All right, you're listening to WPKN, 89.5 FM in Bridgeport, Connecticut. The name of the program is In Context. It's a live call-in show, but today we're not taking your calls for questions and comments, but we're asking you to call in the station to make a pledge in order to keep us on the air. And the phone number is 203-384-9756. The subject is today is chemtrails. And a very important environmental issue, and our guest is, we'll get him right back, is Mr. Michael Murphy, who is
right.
the creator of the movie What in the World Are They Spraying, and its co-producer. Yeah. Do we have Mr. Murphy back on the air? Sorry about that, Michael. Hello, hello, Michael.
Mike, are you there?
Hello, Mike, are you back on? Hello, Mike.
Is he turned up, March?
Hello,
Mike. Mike, are you there now?
I'm here.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah.
You got cut off just as you were saying you went to the geoengineering conference and heard these individuals talk about pumping up some peculiar products into the atmosphere.
That's correct. So for 3 days, I listened to geoengineers talk about their plans and proposals to spray 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum
right.
into our skies for the stated goal of cooling the planet. However, upon our investigation... these programs are not about cooling the planet. Actually, many studies show that putting aerosols into the sky will warm the planet, and we've seen an actual increase in nighttime highs. So I was deeply concerned by what they were talking about, and we have this on film, their plans and proposals. But they do
and
not...
And that is all in your movie, by the way, right?
It absolutely is.
Right.
I think it's important to note that they deny that these programs have been started. But we are seeing toxic fallout around the world from these programs.
Mm-hmm.
Aluminum has increased in certain tests as much as 50,000% in certain areas. So,
what's the problem with aluminum? Could you talk about the health hazards of aluminum and some of the other chemicals that are being found in water and in the soil?
Absolutely. And I think talking about the first part of our trip after the conference, that would probably be an effective way to explain it to the audience. About 8 years ago, scientists up in the Northern California area started noticing a collapse of the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
Trees were dying.
Mm-hmm.
Organic foods were not growing. So they began to question what was going on and started doing tests. And what they found was deeply concerning. The pH of the soil was changing. Typically, it's an acidic soil. It was changing to alkaline, and we're talking major changes, not 2 to 5 times the normal alkalinity. We're talking 12, as high as 18 times the normal alkalinity. Anybody with basic science knows that plant life that requires an acidic soil will start to die when that pH changes. So they began to do some deeper testing, started testing the rain to find out why the pH was changing. What they found was even more concerning. They found massive amounts of aluminum, barium, and strontium, which will change the pH of rain and will change the pH of soil. So as a result, plant life in the forest is collapsing at an alarming rate. Interestingly enough, these oxides match geoengineers' plans exactly. These problems started showing up when the trails started showing up. Mm-hmm. They were not there 12 to 15 years ago, and they match numerous patterns, and what we see in the sky matches geoengineers' plans exactly. So while they deny that this is going on, there is evidence not only in Northern California, but literally around the world. More info can be found on geoengineeringwatch.org. There's a library of tests that, again, have been coming around from the world. So it's deeply concerning. These numbers continue to escalate. I'm here in Hawaii. We've been meeting with public officials, and one took 30 rain tests here in the middle of the Pacific and, again, found contamination of this, what they call the chemtrail geoengineering blueprint or footprint, which is aluminum, barium, and strontium.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Michael. Would you highlight?
Oh, no.
Go ahead and finish your thought.
Those oxides are highly toxic, both to plant life, but then also to human health. And, of course, in the film we interviewed some physicians and metal experts, and what we found in terms of health was equally as concerning.
Well, we're talking to a filmmaker, Michael Murphy, about his film, What in the World Are They Spraying, on the very important issue of chemtrails. And we were offering it for a premium of a contribution of $75 to WPKN. And you can get that film by calling 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756 for a pledge of $75. And this is the kind of material we do on In Context. Very important subjects with the key guests like Michael Murphy. And these are subjects that are not being treated in the corporate media. We're allowed to treat these subjects on In Context and WPKN because we're supported by by listener contributions and not by the contributions of big corporations that dictate our policies. So we thank you, listeners, for your generous support. Now, Mr. Murphy, in the film, you made a visit to Mount Shasta. Could you talk about what was found in the pond?
Actually, I think I want to play a quick clip from that movie, and then we're going to hear Michael's reaction and kind of update us on anything else that may have happened or backstories to that. By the way, listeners, if you want to chime in, you can email us at ken@mdrtalk.org. That's ken@mdrtalk.org. So, Mike, we're going to play a one-minute clip and come right back to you.
Our snow sample off the site of Mount Shasta tested 61,000 parts per billion.
This is just ordinary snow water, and people are drinking this stuff when they're hiking on the mountain. And remember, government action is required at 1,000. This is 61 times over the government limit, and our hikers are drinking this poisonous water on Mount Shasta Mountain itself. Barium, 83. Strontium, 383.
So this summer, the people climbing are drinking poison.
Basically. I certainly wouldn't want to drink 61,000 micrograms per liter of aluminum.
And again, we've already seen in 5 years soil pHs in this area that have escalated 10 to 12 times, and we can prove that conclusively. Well, this is not speculation. We can prove conclusively that these metals have been in the rain. We have duplicate samples.
And we're back. Now, in that clip, we heard some people from the locals in California. One was a master gardener, and you go through, and immediately after that clip, he tells you all of his degrees, and he's a qualified person to speak on soil samples, and he even shows this big binder going back years and years about all the soil samples of his area, and so it adds tons of credibility to show that this is well documented. This is not some schmuck who just ran out there and said, "No, I have no idea what this means." But look, there's a lot of aluminum in the soil.
How does he know, Mike? How does he know that this pollution is coming from chemtrails as opposed to some other source?
Right.
Well, we have looked into any other source of the pollution. We even contacted California Air Quality Resources Board. They did a study Because commonly many people say, well, these toxins are coming from China. And again, that report stated that those oxides, aluminum, barium, and strontium, were not amongst the metals found in there. We have not been able to source it anymore. And these metals started showing up when the trails started showing up. And again, we've talked to many people who are not only under flight patterns, and they typically see these trails in the sky on a regular basis. So again, nobody has been able to source the fallout from anything else, and we've looked into it.
In the film, I think it's Dane Wigginton who says that the pond is fed only by rainwater, which we tend to eliminate under other...
Oh, this is the one that has the lined pond with the plastic under the water?
Was that in Mount Shasta, I think?
That is, yes. Dane owns over 2,000 acres. He's a solar expert, and he did. He lined it with fish-safe pine lining, zero aluminum. The only thing that can get into that pond is rainwater. Mm-hmm. And then after a heavy spray day, there was a film on the top of that pond. They collected the material from that film and got it tested, and I believe the test was 375,000 parts per billion.
Oh my gosh!
Just literally off the charts. And again, I think it's important to note these levels and this toxicity is not limited to this area. It's literally being found around the world, and it was not there 15 years ago. It began showing up when these programs have been put into full-scale deployment. Unfortunately, they continue to grow quite a bit as we see more activity and we see the numbers coming up. And you said you're having a heavy spray day.
Yes.
Out in New York, so you can probably visualize the trails. Mm-hmm. And look at what appears to be high clouds, because that's what happens when the trails fall down and dissipate.
I pay a lot of attention. I'm actually, by trade, I'm a photographer, and, you know, I'm visual by nature. I'm always observing, you know, my light level, the things that I'm my work that I'm shooting is based off of the sun and what's being lit, right? So I'm looking at the light all the time and just noticing, and, you know, my backgrounds and so forth, and they're constantly hazed out. It really is so irritating. But beside that, it's so ugly, and it just makes me wonder, what are we breathing? You know, when this comes down, I notice all the time, I'm driving on the highway, and it's later in the day, and there are these, like, reddish, purple, black clouds that seem to be almost separating from the high clouds. You know, so you have that white haze all the way at the top, and then you have these, like, black clouds that start to separate and sink, and they float really slowly at, you know, like 1,000 or 2,000, 3,000 feet. You know, they're really low. And it just makes me so concerned and disgusted when I see these clouds, and I have no idea what's in them, because they are going to, it seems, fall to the ground at some point.
If you just joined us, we're talking to filmmaker Michael Murphy about his film, What in the World Are They Spraying on Chemtrails? And we're offering Mr. Murphy's film as a premium for a contribution of $75, and you can get it by calling 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756 for the film, What in the World Are They Spraying? Mr. Murphy?
Yes, well, you're absolutely correct. After they spray, these particulates do fall into the air that we breathe.
Uh-huh.
Again, aluminum, barium, and strontium. Aluminum is highly toxic in its oxide form. Within the past 10 years, we've seen aluminum-related illnesses go through the roof, one of which, unfortunately, many people are aware of now, and that's Alzheimer's.
Right.
Riverside County, we've seen over a 260% increase in Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very concerning. And then barium. Barium is very toxic. It will create neurological problems in its toxicity. It will also create high blood pressure. So... and it's a desiccant. You'll notice on heavy spray days, I get very, very dry. So I require a lot of water.
Okay.
Heavy spray days. But I've spoken to physicians who are aware of this issue, and they said during heavy spray days, our emergency rooms are packed. People have burning eyes, irritability, chest pain, nausea.
Okay.
But because it increases blood pressure, they see a frequency of heart attacks and strokes on those days.
Oh, so, that's really interesting.
And strontium is a carcinogen. So there was a group, I think it was about 30 people in Mojave County, Arizona. They saw the film and decided to get their blood tested for aluminum, barium, and strontium. Many people were high in aluminum, but I believe 26 out of that 30 were very high in barium, and many of them were around 1,000 times what is considered to be the elevated amount of barium in their blood, and those people are suffering from many different health problems. So the toxicity is there. Unfortunately, it's showing up in blood tests and hair follicle tests. And but
you mentioned there's a really interesting part in the film where there is the young girl out in Hawaii who has been living on an organic farm, and they get her, I think it was a hair follicle test, right, to show the deadly chemicals that, you know, she could have possibly ingested.
This is the Manus Martins family,
mm-hmm,
right?
And it shows that she has radically elevated heavy metals in her body, and they said there's no way that she could have possibly come into contact with this stuff except for in the air and water, because we live on a farm and we eat all the food that we produce with no pesticides or anything like that.
That's correct. So they choose that lifestyle because it is a clean lifestyle, and many people in that community, it was just an incredible experience, because when we went out there to film, I typically, coming from Los Angeles, get my food at a grocery store, and I didn't stock up, so we got to the farm, and the next morning I was starving, and I said, hey, is there a place to get some food? And they kind of laughed at me. They said, yeah, look around. You know, it's all around you. And I said, I'm not sure if I know how to do that, you know, picking food off of a tree. But the reason I bring that up, because I want to transition into my next point, it's a very free lifestyle. And again, they're not dependent on corporations, grocery stores. They grow their own food. During that trip, we learned something. Not only are people on that farm now, like the girl, finding very high levels of these heavy metals in hair follicle tests because they're breathing it in, but they have begun to see a decline in natural organic foods, as many other people here on Maui. And the concern is, we know that the soils are being toxified. We know organic foods are not growing the way that they were. There is this Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution.
Uh-huh.
We now know that there has been a new aluminum-resistant GMO seed, which has been manufactured.
Right.
So many people here on the island and many farmers believe that this could be, in part, an agenda to destroy our ability to grow our own food.
Right, right.
So we're dependent on these new seeds.
Is that good old Monsanto?
Is it Monsanto?
Well, we found a very distant connection, but right now the patent is owned by the USDA and Brazilian government. But we know Monsanto gets their hands into many nefarious things, so it wouldn't surprise me if we see them emerge with this and profit as part of their agenda to completely control the food supply and change what is natural and organic so that they can gain this money and power.
We're speaking with Michael Murphy, the filmmaker who's made the film What in the World Are They Spraying on Chemtrails? And you can get this film for a pledge of $75 to support WPKN by calling 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756. Please help support the station, because we are really privileged to have Mr. Murphy on talking about chemtrails, and you're just not going to hear this material on the corporate media, and it's very important because, as Mr. Murphy's saying, this pollution that's coming, it appears to be coming out of the air, is poisoning our soil, poisoning our water, and it's getting into our bodies.
Yeah, and if you want to weigh in on the conversation, make sure you email us at ken@mdrtalk.org, and we'll relay your question or comment, because we're not able to take calls today because of the fundraising. maybe we should I want to actually play another clip from the film. This is from when you went to the climate conference that you were the geoengineering conference that you mentioned earlier, and it's what inspired you to write the article on the alumina that you found, since we've been talking about the aluminum. Marsh, do you have that clip queued up?
Which one?
Track three?
Track three?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, play that, please.
Good, thanks.
What really shocked me was in one of the breakouts, they had the benefits of these programs and then the risks. Now, the benefits, the one thing that was stated was the just cooling the planet. Some of the risks were ozone depletion, droughts in Africa and Asia.
I got to tell you, I came away from this experience after listening to these scientists for four days of symposiums, really concerned, because it's clear now that they are justifying, rationalizing, and looking to legitimize some really, really horrible impacts, further impacts on our environment. And they're basically formulating the sales strategy and the implementation and oversight strategy and the funding strategy.
After San Diego, I was shocked by the programs that had been proposed. I decided to write about it. That night when I finished, I sent the article to an online publication with my email address attached. When I woke up the next morning, my inbox was flooded with responses from around the world. Why? Because I had just broken the story on aluminum in geoengineering models, which I had no clue at the time that very few people knew about. Now this metal, aluminum, is being found in massive quantities way above normal levels all over in rain, in soil, and in snow. After that, the calls started pouring in from people who were desperate for someone to investigate. That was the fuel that started the film.
I'm Michael Ken here. As we're speaking to you, you're in Hawaii. Hawaii figures prominently in the film, and you're back there working on an important legislative initiative. Why is Hawaii important? Is there an unusual amount of chemtrail activity there?
Well, there is, and the two islands that are of interest to me are Maui and Hawaii. I'll be heading to Kauai later on today. But yes, and again, a public official began to get concerned after he saw some of our footage and started testing, and he obtained over 30 tests that showed contamination of aluminum, barium, strontium. This is the chemtrail geoengineering footprint. That's what many people call it. But it's a very effective area to get a movement started, because it is a small island. There is an awareness and in a higher level of a consciousness than most areas. So as a result, I've been back. This is, I think, my fourth trip since filming. And we have been hosting symposiums, really educating the public. We have critical mass here, and we have political support for what we're working on right now, and that's our Clean Sky Ordinance, which is a county ordinance that will ban chemtrail geoengineering programs on and around the island of Maui.
So, wow, that's really amazing that it actually brings it into the mainstream by outrightly not only acknowledging that it exists, but then just banning it.
And this really ties into the theme of our whole fundraising drive, which is community emphasis.
Yes.
A community radio, because what Michael Murphy's doing in Hawaii to combat this really international crisis is being done at the grassroots, at the local level.
Mm. Can you tell us a little bit more about the temperature, the public there? Are they quickly grabbing onto us and saying, yeah, you know what, I have noticed there's something wrong, or are they skeptical, or what's the feeling?
Well, when we first came to film, many people were skeptical, and there was very little consciousness, but I already had some information put together. I had some articles that I've written and a little bit of footage. So we started reaching out to the community. Many people mm-hmm. got it during that time. However, it wasn't the mass public. So since we completed the film, It's just as it has around the world. It's millions of people, as you know, have had an opportunity to learn about this and become aware of it. As a mm-hmm. result, we have worldwide movements going on. So the film's been very instrumental in that. But specifically in Hawaii, I've never seen a movement grow so quickly in my life. I've been an activist for many years, and it's just incredible to see. I have great hope for the first time. You know, this issue is so severe, and I think it's the greatest issue that we as human beings will ever have to face in the history of this planet.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk a little more about that, but I have a tremendous amount of hope, because people are recognizing what it is, how damaging it is, and starting to stand up. So I've got great faith. I do not look at this in fear. I look at it in hope. For the first time, we have fellow human beings standing up for our right to breathe clean air, for our right to grow natural organic foods,
mm-hmm.
and our right to live free and independent from this oppressive government that we see rapidly emerging. So it's incredible.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with filmmaker Michael Murphy about his film, What in the World Are They Spraying, on the chemtrail phenomena. And we're offering it as a premium for a pledge of $75, and you get the movie by calling 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756, and you're helping to keep PKN on the air and helping us to offer this important information that Mr. Murphy has to give us. Now, Michael, you've tried to bring this up in Washington, and it's shown in the film. Could you talk a little bit about your response?
Sorry to laugh,
the response to you in Washington.
Right. Well, I'm kind of laughing as well. We decided at the end of our filming to go to the District of Columbia, and we actually went into the bowels of Congress. So we made several calls trying to get appointments with many of our senators and many of the other criminals in our Congress there, with no avail.
Wait. You mean elected representatives did not respond to their constituents' concerns? I don't believe this.
Now, if I went in with a business card stating I was from Monsanto, or a corporation, I'm sure I would have gotten a lot of.
Oh, come right in. Would you like some coffee?
With some canceled checks.
Come right in. And it's interesting that you bring that up, because we're told from when we're little children that we have a government for the people and by the people.
Yeah.
And that simply is not the case. I hate to burst anybody's bubble. It was deeply concerning to me, but we have a government that serves the corporate interests, the powerful interests that spend a lot of time lobbying. But with that being said, we did. So we were in the bowels of Congress and put together putting our members of Congress on notice, asking them what they knew.
Right.
And they were very nice until I brought up the term geoengineering, and that seemed to be the repellent from these people. They literally started running from us. And I think there are many reasons why our public officials do not want to address this. We have to realize these programs are crimes against nature and humanity. They're illegal, and they're multi-billion-dollar programs. We have to remember Dennis Kucinich, who I respect, had addressed this back in 2001 in a Space Preservation Act, where he actually called for a banning of chemtrails. But it appears that he received a lot of resistance. That part of the bill had been removed, and it later failed when it went to vote. But anyways, I think it's a very difficult subject for many members of Congress and senators to address. Of course, former Senator Karen Johnson was in our film, and she's very concerned about this, and she spoke about these programs. I've spoken to her, you know, why were you not addressing this or unable to address it in Congress? And it's a very delicate subject, again.
Isn't there a national security aspect to it as well? I mean, is it possible that the aluminum shaft is being used as a test of radar interference? I mean, that's one theory, because the aluminum, as I understand it, interferes with radar.
Well, that's pretty well documented by the military, and they do that on occasion. But what we're seeing is complete aerosol coverage in our skies at all time. And it's interesting, because the HAARP program requires a plasma sky. Why aluminum? Just want to get into this really quickly.
Okay.
Well, the HAARP please, if you could explain to the audience what the HAARP program is. Most people have probably never heard about it.
Oh, great. HAARP is short for High Active Auroral Research Project, and it emits frequency. It's stationed in Alaska, and I believe there are many other mobile areas that they can take on boats. But I'm just starting to research this, but what I have learned is that HAARP does have the ability to alter our weather patterns. Many people can relate to our adverse weather conditions that we've had just of late. And in essence, there is a HAARP patent which requires a plasma sky. It's interesting, because at the geoengineering conference, I learned that geoengineers were boasting about their ability to heat up over 400 square miles of our atmosphere. And when I first heard that, I said, why? I wonder why they want to do that. It wasn't until I've spoken to meteorologists who have been studying this, and as you stated earlier in the program, you notice like 2 days ahead of a storm, intense trailing. Well, they've showed me if you can heat up the atmosphere, you can actually lift the ceiling of our atmosphere and steer storms and steer jet streams. That's exactly what's going on. What they're doing is very similar to our GMO seeds. They've taken natural systems that are under the dominion of nature or our creator, and they're usurping that authority, changing it so men and corporations can have this godlike power. Geoengineer David Keith said a few months back, geoengineering gives man godlike power. Well, they're doing the same thing with our weather. If you control the weather, you can control everything. You can control food supplies and political systems. So again, they're taking this so that we cannot live naturally like many people do here on Hawaii, so that corporations gain this money and power. And it's deeply concerning. If we do not address this and learn about it, we're looking at some very serious future implications. And that's not a world that I want to live in.
If people think there isn't a serious cause for concern, I found a paper, Weather as a Force Multiplier, Owning the Weather in 2025, published by the Air Force 20 years ago.
Before you address that, though, I just want to let you know we have an email from the listening audience, so March is going to relay that.
Yes, Mr. Murphy. Bonnie from Greenwich, Connecticut, was wondering, what's the effect that these chemtrails have on global warming?
Well, again, I think it's important to note that geoengineers state that these models are to actually reflect light and cool the planet. However, NASA studies show that aerosols in the sky will warm the planet because they act as a blanket. So we've also seen an increase in nighttime highs in the past 10 years. So what will it do? It will increase global warming, no question about that. Studies back that up. And that's why it's a very effective fear tactic that these geoengineers and these corporations are using so that they can gain public support. But it's not about cooling planet. And these programs are not in the best interest of you or I. They are in the best interest of these very few people in these corporations who want to control and corporatize natural systems.
Now, just to remind everybody out there, if you want to weigh in, please email us at ken@mdrtalk.org, and we will definitely relay your comments. We're not going to be taking phone calls because we want to try to get everyone to call into the pledge line. And once again, that phone number is 203-384-9756. And we're offering Michael Murphy's great film, What in the World Are They Spraying?, with some groundbreaking information and footage in there that most people are just not aware of. And we're offering that for a pledge of $75. So please, please call in 203-384-9756 and take this film and show it to everybody that you can. Mike, I just want to digress just a moment because the question of global warming is brought up. And in the past, we've talked about this. About a year ago, we had on your friend Ed Griffin, who's in the film. And I think he's a co-producer. But he talked about how the wide-ranging effects implications of geoengineering are just almost never ending, it seems. You know, you can't ever really put it in a box to find out what the goal or the end result is. And we've had emails and questions and phone calls in saying, well, if it's climate engineering, is it basically admitting that the government knows more about global warming than they're willing to lead on to, you know, that the information that we have in the public is really just, you know, a front for it. And they allow us to argue over it while they quietly deal with the problem in the background. I argue and say, no, it actually makes it worse. But then they say, well, maybe that's because it's the really global cooling and we need to warm it. And I'm like, you know, this debate never really ends. All I can tell you is that I see them up there 24 hours a day spraying day and night. And as soon as we have a big storm system like Hurricane Irene that came through here a couple weeks ago, we had blue skies for about 12 hours the next day until they were up there spraying rapidly again, trying to cover it all over again, going back and forth, crisscrossing the sky. And, you know, it was like the nicest part of my week there was the next day. And then all of a sudden it was covered over again. Do you have any comments on the debate between the possible effects and how it can be, you know, swung around by the propaganda machine?
Well, yes, and the global warming issue has really been used as a divisive issue in the geoengineering to split people up. So yeah. I have very strong feelings about it. I do not publicly address it because I have a line of people probably 4 miles long of these corporate, quote, the bunkers agents that are just trying to create division. So
okay.
For that, I don't address it publicly. I do have very strong feelings. But
okay.
You know, again, to think that these programs are the best interest of the American people and the people of the world is ludicrous. We know how damaging they are. Forest collapse is happening so quickly. Natural organic foods are not growing. If you question that, go to my website, truthmediaproductions.us. I have a Hawaii Revisited film where I interviewed several farmers, all who are beginning to see between 20% and 50% declines and their ability to grow natural organic foods. And then we see asthma on the rise. Respiratory mortality in the past 6 years has increased.
Yes.
From number 8 on the list of mortality down to number 3. That's a huge jump. All of the other illnesses that we see. And, we're told that these people in high positions of power, and I'm not saying everybody who works in government is bad. However, we do have to realize the control that the criminal elite bankers, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, even Bill Gates, who, by the way, is a funder into geoengineering, These guys are not sitting around a boardroom table saying, how can we help people? What can we do?
some of them may be well-meaning, but there are, mankind are flawed. Men are flawed. We have ulterior motives all the time. And so the evil ones among us probably take advantage of the well-meaning among us and use them as useful idiots.
If you just joined us, you're listening to In Context on WPKN, and we're talking with filmmaker Michael Murphy about his film, What in the World Are They Spraying on Chemtrails? And you can have it for a pledge of $75 by calling 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756. We just have 10 minutes left in the show, and we would really appreciate a few calls would come in the last 10 minutes of our show. $75 for Mr. Murphy's film, What in the World Are They Spraying, on this important subject of chemtrails.
And March has a question. March is actually also our military affairs commentator. He does the first Sunday of the month, the War Report. But March, why don't you take this question?
Well, Mr. Murphy, I was wondering, especially when you were talking about HAARP, from a military standpoint, could this potentially be used as a weapon to affect a country's agriculture, particularly, if you're talking a very agrarian society, to starve a nation into submission without ever actually having to bomb them?
I am so glad that you brought that up. That was one of the things that we left out. And geoengineers talk about that concern. They're very open with the risks, which we only covered a handful of them. But absolutely, militarization of these programs. And we look, Iran's president came out about 4 months ago, stated that Western countries were using new technology to create droughts in his country. We see in areas in Africa, they're creating droughts. And the first time I heard about it, I said, why would somebody want to do that? Well, if we look, we know that there's a globalist agenda. We know that there's this New World Order, One World Government agenda. And if you control the weather, you can actually control countries. How can you do that? Well, if you control the rain and you want, let's say, a country in Africa to sign on to this New World Order, but they don't want to, All you have to do is send a drought over there and say, yeah, how long are you going to be independent? Because you will not get rain until you sign on to us.
So it's like the ancient South American tribes with the shamans who would go out there and say, until you sacrifice 500 newborns to the rain god, the snake is going to come out and swallow the moon until, it's time for rain again. So it's basically just old folklore to threaten people to get what you want. Otherwise, I'm going to take away the rain.
And it's not new either. The weather manipulation has been going on since at least the Vietnam War, right? Is a military?
Yeah, Operation Popeye.
Absolutely, where I believe it was 13 feet of rain in less than an hour that they flooded the Ho Chi Minh Trail. So Weather warfare is nothing new, but then we look at the corporate agenda, which literally controls our military. I think we saw that with Desert Storm and many other things. We're not going to send rain. By the way, our buddies Monsanto, say you're growing your food naturally. That's going to end as well until you start buying their seeds. And that's what's happening. It is complete control. These programs consolidate this godlike power into the hands of the few. It's what many religions have been prophesying since the beginning of a religion. Again, I'm not supportive of this corporate agenda. I am going to fight for our ability to breathe natural organic air and eat natural organic foods. And end of story.
Michael, where in America are people going to look up in the sky and see evidence of chemtrails? Is it all over? Is it in certain parts of the country?
It is everywhere. They have been reported in every state. And again, the toxic fallout, the measurable fallout from these programs has been found in just about every state. You can find more at geoengineeringwatch.org into their library. But before we came out to Hawaii to film, I said, no way are they found in Hawaii. I said, no way, but when we were flying here, we got about 150 miles outside of Maui and began to see the trails into the sky. So it appears that they're targeting this area. I know Monsanto has a very much of a stronghold on the islands here. They've grown over 26% in the past year. And, again, we believe that there's a major tie-in to the genetically modified seeds and these programs because the fact that our soils are being destroyed, natural organic foods are not growing. So it appears that they're targeting everything but everywhere, even in Florida, tropical regions. There are a few countries that do not report and have had not had much toxicity found, but they're becoming more few and far between. Bottom line is this, geoengineers want to completely block out our sun. That is their stated goal. That is their agenda. Bad news, they've been doing it for a long time.
I have a question. I've heard rumors that there have been whistleblowers from within either the Air Force or the private operations that have been running for these climate engineering operations, like the pilots of such, but they are afraid to come out publicly. Have you had any knowledge about whistleblowers or anybody trying to come out with any inside information as to the goals, the methods, the chemicals in the planes, anything like that?
Well, absolutely, and the Intel Hub has spoken to many of these people. I have not. People have approached me in terms of whistleblowing, but I will not interview somebody unless they're willing to state their name and,
right.
and really give credibility right. to it, because I think we risk, you know, disinformation with this. With that right. being said, you know, one of the reasons to produce the film was really to reach out to perhaps the pilots who I believe are told that they're doing something good mm-hmm. and they don't know how much damage that they're causing. So, yeah, we encourage whistleblowers to come in, identify themselves, but again, these are very powerful programs run by very powerful people. They're multi-billion-dollar operations, and they consolidate power into the hands of few. So I think there's a lot of fear with the people who are involved with this. But I do want to say, if we don't address this, and if these whistleblowers don't come out, what kind of future are they leaving for their families?
That's right. We all sink together. We're all in this boat together. Our environment, we only have one environment. You know, it's not like we can just go off world once we wreck this one and, you know, go colonize the moon or something like that. You know, it's the environment that they're leaving for their children. These pilots need to remember that it's their families that are getting Alzheimer's disease. You know, that it's their children that are coming down with all kinds of different respiratory illnesses.
You're listening to In Context on WPKN, and we're speaking with filmmaker Michael Murphy about his film on chemtrails called What in the World Are They Spraying? And you can have the DVD for a pledge of $75 by calling 203-384-9756. We only have about 5 minutes left in the show, so we'd love to hear those phones ringing with your generous pledges in the next few minutes by calling 203-384-9756. In the few minutes we have, where do you see the movement going? What's next on your agenda?
Well, I see it going in many different areas, and now people are starting to wake up, and that's the first part of any movement. But we're working on legislation here in Maui, and there is an organization in your area called Long Island Sky Watch. A wonderful woman runs it, and they are moving forward. They're working with a couple state, or I believe county officials, who are addressing this. So if you go to their website, Long Island Sky Watch, I'm not sure if it's .com or .org. You can learn more about what can be done politically.
I think I've met her. Is it Cynthia?
It is Cindy.
Cindy.
She is.
And she's great.
And just an incredible activist, has really done a lot for the movement. So I'd like to encourage people in your area, in the Long Island area, to log on, send her an email, and she can actually send you a packet on how to address this locally. And bottom line is this, when we get public support like we have on Maui, our public officials have to do something about it. So I can't stress the importance of getting involved. And I really think the local level is where we need to be. We illustrated that our politicians in Washington, D.C., are not really willing to address this, whether it's fear or whether they don't know how to address it. We don't know. But they are going with their plausible deniability, stating that what we're seeing is simply natural contrails. However, they will never address the issue of toxicity that we're finding in increasing amounts around the world. So locally is, I think, where we need to start. And I can't stress the importance of this issue. Short of complete nuclear fallout, I don't think that there's anything more dangerous and harmful to human health and the planet.
Well, Michael, we thank you so much for joining us today. We're coming to the end of our time.
Thank you very much, Michael.
And we wish you the best of luck in getting this legislation passed so that it serves as a great model for the rest of the states to follow. And we really appreciate all your hard work and this great film you produced.
I want to thank both of you for not only covering this issue, but covering the other issues that you cover. And God bless you, and please continue to get this important message out and to the listeners. Please look into this. And, again, the film's very important. We're encouraging anybody who orders and purchases the film, make as many copies as you want and hand them out for free. We have people who hand out over 1,000 copies per week, and it's very important to get the message out.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
All right, so you've just been, you're listening to In Context on WPKN 89.5 FM, and you've just been listening to an interview with the filmmaker Michael Murphy. He's a journalist as well, and he covers the geoengineering chemtrail topic, and he made the film What in the World Are They Spraying, which we're offering during our fundraiser drive, which for a pledge of $75 you can get at 203-384-9756. And we're going to play the last clip from this film, which I intended to play at the beginning of the show. Either way, it's 2 minutes and 50 seconds. It's just kind of setting up what is in all the chemicals and all that sort of stuff. And then we'll come back, say goodbye. And you got that ready, March?
All set.
Okay, cool.
It is called geoengineering, fighting global warming by putting a chemical dust in the atmosphere and reflecting harmful radiation back into space.
We take geoengineering to mean deliberate, large-scale intervention in the Earth system.
There are a variety of schemes that have been discussed for geoengineering. A classic example is injecting reflecting particles into Earth orbit.
Nevertheless, there might be some good reasons to think about alumina. It turns out, first of all, there's been a lot of work on the environmental consequences of alumina in the stratosphere. The big deal really is that alumina has 4 times the volumetric rate of forcing it for small particles, as does sulfur. And that means you have 4 times less surface area for the same rate of forcing. And this is a much bigger deal. You have roughly 16 times less the coagulation rate. And that's the thing that really drives removal. So you could get away, we think, with much smaller mass flux.
So that's why we see things like in the use aircraft patent from 89, they talk about aluminum. And that's why we're seeing in the surface water samples aluminum. And here's David Keith saying that aluminum has 4 times the reflective volume surface area. So they'd like us to think that we're talking about sulfur, but here they slipped up and let it out that aluminum is 4 times better to achieving their ends, and it sounds like it's going to be one they don't want us to know the effects of.
Mm.
The little picture is from a nanofabrication study, which shows you can make very high-quality, and do this in just a jet in a very simple way, make high-quality alumina particles just by spraying aluminum vapor out, which oxidizes. So it's certainly, in principle, possible to do that. There's a big literature that's already looked at that. And you could do that by either building new versions of these aircraft or even re-engineering existing aircraft. So there's some ideas of that. So you go to an engineering firm and you want this done. They don't say this is hard or unusual. They say, okay, yes, we could do it. Aerosol geoengineering looks like it is so cheap that the cost is basically not going to be an issue. That means that implementation decisions will be risk-to-risk decisions. The risk of doing it against the risk of not doing it. And it makes the problem of how we govern it fundamentally harder and different than normal. So I've told you this, cheap to deliver materials to the stratosphere, and I'm convinced that's true. I don't think that will change. But I think the more we do research, the less easy this will look, the more complicated the environmental effects will look. And that's a good thing. Because right now it looks too easy. So I think that if we do more research, we're likely to find out that it's harder and more complicated than we thought, and that the side effects are harder to manage, and that's a healthy outcome that will make it easier to do the management. Of course, the opposite reaction is possible. It's an empirical question how people will actually react to knowledge about this. Another reaction is to say, if these crazy scientists are so concerned about putting CO2 in the atmosphere, they want to think about these things, then that might actually mean we should be more serious about the risks of CO2 in the atmosphere. And by the way, it's not really a moral hazard. It's more like free riding on our grandkids.
Oh, you've been listening to In Context on WPKN. It's our fundraising drive. And for $75, you can have that film, What in the World Are They Spraying, by calling 203-384-9756 to support WPKN.
And so that does it for us today. And
we'll be on next on Sunday with the Wall Report, Sunday night, October 2nd at 10 p.m. And then our regular noon show will be on Monday, October 10th at noon.
Remember to find us at the website at incontextreport.com. And join us on our Facebook page. Look, search for In Context. And what other things we're plugging? Download the podcasts. We're also going to be on Bridgeport now next month. That's the first Tuesday of the month. And that airs at 8 p.m., right?
Right. That's live, too.
Yeah, live, 8 p.m. We take phone calls.
We take calls, yeah.
And you can find us, if you're in the Bridgeport area, it's on the public access channel.
We'll put information about on our website.
Yeah, it'll be on the website.
It also streams online, if I recall.
That's right. Okay, see you, everybody.
Great, thanks a lot. Right,
have a good day, folks.
Stay tuned for Rod Ross.
This is WPKN, 89.5 FM in Bridgeport, and streaming online at WPKN.com.